Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. And with me this week is Larry King to talk about one of his favorite plants, the camellia. Welcome back to the show, Larry.
It's great to be here again, Ross.
So what is your story with camellias? What is it about them that just draws you?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, why camellia? They're not native. They have short bloom cycles. So what's that about? And I have to tell you, it's really from my childhood. When I was, I think about 9 or 10, we moved into a new house. And that year, my parents decided that I would be in charge of the yard. And, you know, I mowed the grass and some of those things that nine-year-olds do. But I sort of took it to heart. And the main shrubbery that we had here in Newport, Oregon, were camellias. Hmm. And so there was an elderly gentleman next door who also had camellias. And so he showed me how to prune them properly and how to take care of them, which isn't much. They really are suited to our environment here. So maybe fertilize once a year and prune once a year, and that's sort of it. But I think that's what started my love for them. There are actually 220 species of camellias throughout the world. Most of them are from China, Japan, and in Southeast Asia.
So they really flourish in Lincoln County?
Yeah, they really do. They go in three main types. There's Camellia sasangua, and that is a fall blooming variety. There's Camellia japonica, which is a spring blooming variety. And then there's also one that they make tea out of called Camellia sinensis. So those are the three species of camellia that thousands of hybrids have been made from. In terms of how to keep them the best, I would say is especially Camellia japonica likes filtered sun or even shade. The Camellia sasangua, it will tolerate a little bit more sun, but they all like the climate here. The gloomier, the better as far as them. Not a lot of direct sunlight. But, you know, you could plant them on the north side of your house or the east side of your house. Probably not on the southern side unless there's dappled shade, you know, an overhang. And where they are native, they're an understory shrub. Mm. So they might have maples above. And because they're evergreen, it works out really well underneath a tree that sheds in the winter. So they get the light in the winter to maintain their growth, and then they get shaded when it starts getting hot out. And so planting them under maples or under other deciduous trees works out great.
Oh, that makes sense. What are sort of the ideal growing conditions for them besides just sun?
You know, they'll grow without any special care at all. Now, if you're going to plant a new one, like if you go to the nursery and you buy a camellia, I would say that first year you need to pay a little bit of attention because they might get sunburned and they might dry out and not be viable. So the first year, I would say, here in Lincoln County, just keep them well watered and make sure that they do have some protection from the sun. But after that first year, I tell you, only because you would like the aesthetics do you even need to prune them. There's one in my neighborhood that's got to be 30 feet tall.
Wow.
That no one has pruned. Well, certainly since I have lived here. Mm-hmm. and they don't require pruning.
So you've painted a really rosy, lovely image of growing camellias in Lincoln County, but I know not everything goes according to plan. What are some of the problems that can happen with camellias?
Well, there's one very specific one, but otherwise, I would say they're very healthy. And of course, over the many years, the different hybrids have been bred for hardiness. They are a little fussy about having enough iron in the soil. Normally, most of them have either glossy, very dark leaves or medium green leaves. So if they start bleaching out, you might take a look at what the iron content in your soil is. If you apply once a year a fertilizer, it normally will just take care of that. Mm-hmm. So that's not usually a problem. And of course, new growth, you know, they can get aphids and some of the things that will trouble new growth. But, you know, they're so hardy.
So in the studio today, you've brought some lovely samples for me to enjoy.
I know. And it's sort of weird bringing show and tell to the radio show, right? But I just wanted to share with our listeners the variety of color and bloom shape and things like that. Well, I brought some of my favorites. One of my favorites is this lovely large red one that is called Bob Hope, named no doubt after the entertainer. And you'll notice it's a lovely dark colored red, a large flower. It's an open flower, so the stamens and pistils are arranged easily for pollinators. And in fact, one of the nice things about camellias in general is the fall flowering ones and the spring flowering ones actually overlap for about a month. So if you pick your plants right, you can have camellias blooming and camellias for pollinators from October through April. So almost half of the year, you can have camellias blooming in your yard. The other one I'm particularly fond of, this one's not completely open yet, and it's a little bit smaller. It's about 2 inches around. It's called Lemon Glow. Mm. And so rather than just being a plain white, in the center you get that sense of a little bit of lemon coming through. And it also has very dark green foliage, a little bit smaller leaves, but gorgeous when the whole bush is in bloom.
Great contrast between the petals.
It is, it is.
Yeah.
And then the other two, they're almost the same color. The smaller one is called Rosehill Red, and the larger one is called Nuccio's Bella Rosa. I brought them really just to illustrate that they're different sizes. So even though the colors are very similar, you might want to have that effect of a bush covered with small ones. The smaller ones will tend to be born more upright, where the larger camellia heads will often kind of weight the branches down a little bit. So it just depends on so that overall look that you might want to have. Now, of course, these are just ones that are blooming right now at the beginning of April. So we've missed out on some of my other favorites. One is called Jury's Yellow, and it's like a big yellow pom-pom. It's totally crazy. And of course, the colors range from white, some yellow, pink, red, and variegated. My variegated ones also were a little earlier this year. So you can get deep red ones with splotches of white. You can get candy striped ones. And then through the range of reds until you get a very dark one. I have one called Black Tuxedo, and it's like the darkest red you can imagine and very glossy. It's also one of the open-faced ones. So it's got like maybe 10 of these incredibly glossy, almost reddish black petals, then with the open stamens in the middle. So just lovely. You can tell I'm a little kooky about this.
There's a camellia for everyone's
exactly.
taste.
Exactly.
So then also in the studio with us today is a little baby camellia, which I'm guessing you propagated yourself. Would you talk a little bit about propagating camellia?
I would glad to, yeah. They're maybe not for real novices. They don't seed very well. You're not going to find any seedlings. And it's a bush that's not dividable. So your basic means of propagation are either stem cuttings, which this one is. I'm holding up one that's about 2 inches tall, and I started this one last fall. So it was the end of a year-old branch that just had these three leaves on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut it right below a leaf node at an angle and put it in soil that was sterile to allow root formation to be better. It was a mix of sand and propagation soil. So one of the things you might think was, so you planted this last fall and it's only just 2 inches tall. And that is true. It actually took about 4 months just for roots to form. Then once the roots are formed and we're headed into spring, so now it has 6 more leaves on top of the original 3 and is fully rooted. But you know, this is not something that you would find in a nursery. It's still not really viable to sit outside yet. You would want to wait until this fall when maybe it's about 6 or 8 inches tall, and then it would be old enough to plant in the yard. And that is the ideal time of year to do your planting too, especially that first year, because you're going to need to water it a little more. If you can plant it in the fall before the rain comes and maybe mulch just a little bit around the base, that's kind of the ideal time to plant it.
Mm-hmm. But it's a really slow, deliberate process.
It
of
is, unfortunately, chameleon. Yeah. Cuttings do better in the summer. So normally we think of taking cuttings during the growing season. These are what are called semi-hardwood cuttings, though. And you actually want to get them when it's that sort of in-between stage. So the new growth is starting to harden off, and that's when you get the ends of the branches to propagate. If you take them earlier in the year, they're not as successful. And if you take them in the dead of winter, you're probably not going to get roots at all. So the best time is like August, early September, or even July. Of course, you need to be careful, because when you put them in a cutting tray, they'll kind of want moisture, good humidity. And in August, sometimes, you know, you don't want to bake them. So, you know, put them in a cool shed or something where there's real filtered light, and and then you'll get some. I would say, though, taking the stem cuttings on semi-hardwood, I do not have very many failures. You can take the tips of maybe half a dozen branches, put them into a cutting tray, cover it with a cling film or something like that. Make sure that it's kind of out of the way so it's not getting direct sun, and just keep it watered. And 3 months later, you'll have a whole flat of little camellias.
Do you have any last useful camellia tips for us?
For me, camellias, the passion of it, I think, is trying to do a couple different things. One is to get colors that you really enjoy. And then the other one is to get that whole idea of early blooming through late blooming.
The timing.
And so there's one called Yuletide, for instance. It's almost guaranteed to bloom right at Christmas.
Wow.
So you really can, if you puzzle them out a little bit before you buy them, you really can plan for a 6-month display, which I think is lovely.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on KYAQ.
Let's get into a little seasonal gardening topic. I've been noticing small ivy seedlings popping up and around while I'm out and about. And while we're all having fun planting our gardens for the spring, it's also time to stay vigilant about young problematic weeds in the garden. Ivy produce berries that are eaten and distributed by birds in the fall and then laid dormant in the soil throughout the winter, so around this time of year, young seedlings begin to sprout. The young sprouts of English ivy initially only have 2 little cotyledon leaves. They're sort of smooth, deep green, and oval, so they don't look like you would expect of adult ivy leaves. The second set of leaves to emerge from the cotyledon leaves begin to look a little bit more like what you'd expect of ivy, but if you can learn to spot only the cotyledon leaves, you'll be able to get them much quicker. The young seedlings are much easier to pull than established ivy vines, which can be quite deeply embedded into either the soil or trees. So if you can pluck the little young seedlings, you can save a lot of future work by preventing the plants from reaching maturity. Cutting established ivy off trees is also a really effective way of reducing the production of berries. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!